okay. And you might want to take me off for the moment because my house alarm is probably going to go off.
Okay, I'll turn your mute off. Okay, great. All right. So hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we're here for our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology monthly open office hours call. And this is where you can come on and ask me anything about anything. I mean, don't ask me about things I don't know about, like cars or electronics, but please do ask me anything at all about the body and your clients, and if it's something related to your own health or your family, because it's how you learn. Whether the symptoms are coming up and you're analyzing your own blood or you're analyzing someone else's blood, you know, or symptoms or diet diary or whatever, it's still a learning process, and some people learn by learning on themselves. I certainly encourage you guys all the time, even if you're not actively seeing clients right now, is to pick a family member and take them under your wing and just start to go through the process with them. Go through the history. You've learned all this great history-taking skills in Module 4 if you've gotten there yet. Or Module 7, which is going to be turning into Module 4, I don't know, whatever. We started to do things a little bit out of order. But anyway, if you're in NEPT, you've got that access. And if you're in, say, the Insulin Resistance Practitioner Program or CAT, you know, just pick someone and start to work with them. Even if they don't have that particular problem, it'll help you to see the differences. So, and by the way, most people have some kind of blood sugar dysregulation. It's probably close to, certainly it's measured at 60% of the population over the age of 60. And I think it's probably a lot more than that because that's the recognized cases of insulin resistance. That's the medically diagnosed cases of insulin resistance is estimated to be 60% of people over the age of 60. That's huge. And then, of course, we know that what we do is we look and assess people for pre-insulin resistance to get them balancing their blood sugar so they don't go to insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, diabetes. So getting off track, but for those of you in IRSPT, that's the stuff that you can do. Take on people. Don't be afraid. Just, you know, let them know, hey, you know, I'm learning this stuff, and you may be more helpful to them than any doctor they've ever paid to help them just because you're really digging into their lifestyle, their diet, their movement, their attitudes, and all the other pieces that we go into. So I'm going to look to see if anybody's typed in any questions. And see who's on the call. It looks like no questions are in. So, Tony, you got it. You're the only one on the phone right now, and nobody's typing any questions, so go for it. Oh, Lynn is here. Great. Hi, Lynn. Lynn's on the chat. So I've got the chat sitting up next to me. I've got the screen set up, so I see everything. So if you have a question, the best way to do it is on the chat, not the Q&A. So click the word chat. It's in that sidebar. And open up your chat window, and that way we can have a two-way conversation, and you can talk to other people while you're waiting for me, or you can. Lynn is always so great at giving resources and links and all that. So Tony, what can we talk about today?
Okay, I'm looking at her numbers, my potential client's information now. I have a 60-year-old woman. Who, and again, I haven't looked totally at what she has here, but she's telling me that she has fatigue, weight gain, night sweats, hot flashes, neck pain. She's low or no estrogen, and she's desperate for help. Okay. And on the surface, I'm saying her thyroid is probably done.
What makes you think that?
She's never had a weight problem before she was 55. Mm-hmm. She's got night sweats, hot flashes. I mean, I know that could also be due to menopause.
Right.
But I wouldn't go jump right into that. But I would think that her thyroid probably isn't functioning properly.
So what are some of the other signs and symptoms you're going to look for? And I know this isn't fair because you've only had an overview of thyroid. We haven't gone into the deep thyroid yet. You'll get more of it next week at Shine, by the way. So a lot more of that. So what are some of the other symptoms that you can think of off the top of your head that you might look for related to thyroid?
I'm at a loss here.
Okay.
Sure.
You want me to review them?
Yes, please.
Okay. So obviously the weight gain, especially the I've not had a problem with my weight until, right? It's always been no problem until. Okay.
She had me until she was 55. That's when she started having problems.
Yeah, and typically menopause or until my husband died or until, you know, I changed jobs or, you know, there's oftentimes a stress situation that, so again, we're thinking thyroid but also adrenal. Whenever you're seeing hot flashes and all kinds of menopausal symptoms, you want to think what's been going on with their adrenals for probably a long time that caused the disruption. Because hot flashes, contrary to popular belief in our country, it's not a common, it's not common around the world. It's common here, but it's not a normal sign of menopause. I mean, you really look in other countries and they go, well, menopause, what the heck is that, right? Oh, you mean when women stop having babies? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a disease in the United States. So you think about, well, what led up to it, right? Because oftentimes in a normal environment, we're going along, we're humming along, we have periods every month, we produce an egg, the whole bit, and then that turns off. The ovaries just go, okay, we're done. But there's small amounts of those estrogens and progesterones that are needed throughout life to protect the bone, to protect the heart, a number of things, right? Mm-hmm. So the adrenals, you know, we've looked at some of those pathways where the adrenals actually produce testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. But if your adrenals are busy keeping you alive from the tigers, right, they're producing cortisol, they don't have enough oomph left. And so when the menopause kicks in, there's not enough background production. The other thing that happens at menopause is this fluctuation. It's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. The hormones are up and down trying to figure out what they're doing. So I always would look at, whenever I see hot flashes, I'm going to look at what's the state of their adrenals. And, yes, the thyroid is key, too, because the adrenals will then, they'll cause stress on the thyroid. And so a lot of times the thyroid is secondary to either an adrenal issue or an immune issue, or a blood sugar, right?
Okay.
Okay. That's why when we look at our functional hierarchy, we have thyroid out there in fourth place. Not that it's not important, and not that it's not important to address it if it comes up, but I've had people who just couldn't get their thyroid straightened out, and we turned out their blood sugar. Oh, yeah, I eat some grapes and get my blood sugar up to 180. Blood sugar is up and down, thyroid won't fix. Yeah, I'm under a really stressful situation. That's why we gave you a really nice stress questionnaire in the place where we do the analysis. And we want you to really just see a person as a whole person and see the endocrine system as this driving piece and go, okay, so this person has this. So let me step back. I think maybe she has some thyroid issues. Great, because the gonadal stuff is further down the hierarchy than the thyroid stuff. But then what could have caused the thyroid stuff? Well, maybe some adrenals. Ask her about her stress levels. Ask her about some other things that might be going on. Well, blood sugar fluctuations, just the normal blood sugar, the average blood sugar fluctuations from eating candy bars and drinking Coke all day is going to cause, that's a huge stress on the adrenals. So if you couple that with the stress of being, you know, in a job or changing jobs or your kids moving out or whatever else, but then you step back and you go, what other things can be precede the blood sugar imbalance? And that would be the gut.
That makes sense.
Total, right? So you're going backwards. And when you get a way of explaining this to people, yes, you have hot flashes, and yes, I want to help you with that. And I have a few little symptomatic things that might work. They work in a lot of people, but it's strictly symptomatic. What we really want to do is work backwards from there to see what else might be going on. Are you game for that? Do you want me to just give you symptom suppression that might work for a little while and then stop working because the bull is still in the china shop? Or do you want me to go backwards from there and help you to really go to the root cause?
Well, that was excellent because this will help me get her signed up for the 90-day program because I really think she could she could definitely use that. I don't think 30, 60 days is going to do it. This was great. The question related to that, I'm just quickly looking over that. It looks like I asked her for medication information, and she's taking something, I don't know what this, estrogen COMP, started July 2014.
Say it again.
She wrote down estrogen and then COMP, and she said she started
July 2014.
Compounded
estrogen, yes.
Okay.
Yes, so which is good. It's not Premarin or one of those, you know, icky stuff. So it's compounded estrogen. And that's the thing, okay? You go to a doc, even if they're a functional medicine-oriented doctor, and they go, oh, you've got a hot flash problem. Let's do bioidentical hormones, which is great. It could be helpful, but let's step back from there. So what's her diet like? Is she eating processed food? Is she eating gluten, dairy, and other allergens?
For sure.
Yeah. So really, they're all easy if you know what to do. But most doctors don't look back. Not easy, but there's the interactions, and then you can intervene with specific symptomatic. But, yeah, so that's the thing. And then you say to her, and what would cause this digestive issue would be the foods. I would highly recommend that everybody listen to a radio show interview I did yesterday, which is the 1st of October, 2014. So anybody's listening back afterwards, 1st of October, 2014, my radio show, and it was with Dr. Mike Mutzel, and we talked about the connection between gut and blood sugar. Awesome, awesome stuff, which just reinforced for me why we have our hierarchy the way it is. And he went through very specific endocrine things that happen in the gut that disrupt the insulin receptors and the insulin levels and the pancreas, et cetera. So really awesome stuff. And he's got a book called The Belly Fat Effect. I haven't read it yet, but I just, based on what he spoke about, I'm like, I can't wait to read this thing. And it's got... I'm looking at the back of all the references, so it's well-referenced if you want to go deeper. The references start on page 187, and they go through page, geez Louise, 316. So he's got over like 130 pages of all the references, chapter by chapter, for everything he wrote. There's this, almost as much in the references as there is in the book. Anyway, I can't wait to read it. He had a lot of science. A lot of people propose their theories, but they don't base it in science. He was so science-based. You'll love it. You're an information junkie. You'll love it. So listen
to
the radio
show. Yes, I am. Okay, I'll do that. That was very helpful. I'll probably round back to another question later, but I'm going to let someone else get back in.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're still the only one on the phone, but there's a couple that have been typed in, so I'll go there.
Okay.
And I'll put you.
Okay,
I'll put your mic on mute, so if you have another one, do a *2.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So who else? Rukmini, hello. She says, I've been gone for a while, but really glad to be back and participate in these calls. Yay, we missed you. My question today is personal and related to menstrual cramps. I've had an issue with them since I started my periods at age 12. I've tried a few things. Let me make this window bigger. Let me see how much bigger I can make it. Oh, much better. And I'll make it wider. That way it doesn't scroll off. I've tried a few things such as acupuncture, yoga, and sugar-free diet. I haven't seen any improvements with any. I also suffer from severe ovulation cramps for 1.5 to 2 days, varies month to month. I wanted to know what is the reason for the ovulation cramps. When I got my female hormones tested, they came back normal. Not sure what's going on. I was told by one doctor that once I have a child, the pains will go away. This happened with my mom. There's something else I can do about it. I also read recently that, okay, so omega-3s was what she read. So let's get back to basics, because it could be specific nutrient imbalances. I'll tell you what some of the nutrient imbalances that can cause cramps are, and I'll give you a couple of herbs that you might try that could be good for getting it under control. And I'm going to talk to you about your basics and the basics of your diet and making sure that you're not deficient in other nutrients that could be contributing. All right. So when you say the sugar-free diet, great. We're going to be going into our blood sugar solution stuff in November, so just in about a month from now, we'll start all that. So you'll really be able to get deep with your own self and take yourself through a 30-day metabolic reset related to resetting insulin receptors. So if that's an issue, that'll be cleared up, or it'll be on the path to being cleared up. Low magnesium is very, very common, and oftentimes when there's not enough magnesium, then the body goes into cramping mode. And people notice that with leg cramps. So I'd ask you, do you have any other signs of cramping, leg cramps or anything like that? And there's a whole host of symptoms of magnesium deficiency just because there's just so many different enzyme systems that magnesium runs through. I would highly recommend that you go to a presentation I did to learn more about magnesium. We'll be getting more of it in the program, but we haven't put that in yet. But there is a really great magnesium presentation in the Vito community, which you have access to. And just go back to the archives, the recordings, and I think it was about maybe 6 or 8 months ago, something like that. Maybe it's closer to a year from now, I think it was last fall that I did it. And it was really detailed, so you can look to see your signs of magnesium deficiency. But it's an easy thing to help. You can certainly get testing for it. When we go through our testing, our functional testing stuff, we'll go through what the best ways to test for nutrients are. Usually it's a red blood cell magnesium. It's not one that the doctors do. It's not a serum magnesium. So imbalance between magnesium, potassium, and also vitamin B6. That's some of the nutrients that can be involved here, and certainly omega-3s. So if you're not taking omega-3 supplements or really honing in on your diet containing the right balance of omega-3, I highly recommend that you go back and study the fats module that we gave you and look at the balance and the spreadsheet I gave you for balancing omega-3 and 6. So, yeah, taking omega-3 supplements can be helpful, but you also want to make sure your diet isn't completely out of whack, that you're not, you know, drinking almond milk and eating almond butter every day and throwing your omega-6 to 3 ratios out, or that you're not eating trans fats, oxidized fats, heated fats, canola oil, things like that, that could be throwing off your omega-3-6 balance. So put into place for yourself the stuff I'm teaching you, and we did the macronutrients, and there's plenty of stuff to chew on there, and really make sure that you're doing all those pieces. We're not looking for the quick fix. What we're looking for is the balance. It's been happening since you're 12, so it's been around for a while. So it could be anatomical. Thank you. Lynn just put it up. It was September 4th, 2013. Wow, it's over a year ago. The many uses of magnesium. And we'll be getting that in. We're working at moving all of the stuff related to all the micronutrients in so that you guys can learn it real well. But there's stuff that's been going on since you're 12. So it could be hormonally related, even though the doctor said that they've done a test. I want to know, how did they do the test? Did they just do a blood level of the test? Was it a conventional doctor? Good. She says, I do get leg cramps. And watched in the past, I currently take omega-3s, see if it can benefit. Good. And make sure in addition to taking omega-3s that your diet is soundly balanced in omega-3, especially not that you're omega-6 dominant, because when you're omega-6 dominant, you'll end up with a higher level of not only inflammation but spasm in your body. The omega-3s tend to be antispasmodic. Well, actually, the downstream metabolites of omega-3s, the leukotrienes and prostaglandins that they produce are calming, antispasmodic, and anti-inflammatory. So when you have that out of balance, it's really important. So that's, Lynn points out, great, knowing what the menses look like is important, right? Is it scanty or heavy? That's true. Is there something like iron deficiency underlying it, which generally doesn't contribute to the cramps? But I would say that if you have other leg cramps and stuff, most likely I'm reading all these things coming through, that it's the magnesium. Conventional doctor did a my diet is good in omega-3, I have more sea vegetables, hemp. And, okay, so if you're taking your omega-3s on top of it, great. Okay, super. The blood, so when you just look at blood levels, if it's a conventional doctor, they're going to test for one estrogen, which sometimes it's listed as estrogen and sometimes it's just listed as estradiol. That doesn't give you the ratios between the different estrogens, doesn't generally look at the ratios and looking for the optimal ratio of estrogen to progesterone. So are you estrogen dominant? When it happens at mid-cycle, that's when the estrogen levels are starting to come up. You have luteinizing hormone and follicular stimulating hormone, and those things come up, cause the ovulation, egg gets released, the estrogen levels are high at that point, and then they start to go low. And if you're getting a continuation of high estrogens and estrogen dominance, that can cause a problem. We'll go through all this in our reproductive module, but, you know, as everything else in this course, you're getting kind of overviews of everything from the questions, and then we'll drill down deeper into the other pieces. Okay, so I would say you might have had that imbalance. If you want to look at some things to try to give you some relief, one thing I would do is up the magnesium, and I would take the magnesium throughout your cycle and then double it in those last 7 days before your period, okay? So increase it throughout the cycle and then double it that last week of your period, and also get yourself some B6 in the form of P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, okay? Because that's going to help, that and the magnesium are going to help to increase and enhance the pathways in the liver to pull out the used-up estrogens. Because sometimes it's not even a matter of you producing more estrogen, but you're not getting rid of it because of a liver pathway that's stuck. B6 and magnesium can help, but other things like more cruciferous vegetables, you might even try a DIM, D-I-M, diindol methane supplement, or I3C, indole 3-carbinol. Those can be helpful. You also can try, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can try. We can make a list, and then I would try them one at a time. So the other things that you could try would be getting some, assuming maybe there's a progesterone dominance, you'd want to look at, I mean, a progesterone imbalance with regard to the estrogen. I would say look at your labs. The docs will look and say, this is in normal range, this is in normal range, this is in normal range. But they don't look at, oh, well, estrogen is in the high end of the normal range. Progesterone is in the low end of the normal range. Testosterone is in the medium end of the normal range. That means that there's an imbalance. Those are functional imbalances that conventional docs are not trained to see. Okay? Another thing you can look at, Rukmini, is to actually do one of the salivary hormone panels that takes you through the whole cycle. The female hormone panel, you can go onto the Diagnostics website or Genova Diagnostics. You might not be able to order them direct over there, but we can find you places that you can get them. I know there's lab testing places over there. I know that BioHealth has them as well. And I just had a really nice conversation with the owner, basically, of BioHealth the other day about setting it up so that you guys can order tests directly from them, because usually they require a physician's license, but you'll be ordering it under my account, but you'll be able to order and pay for them and get the results as well. And they have a really nice female hormone panel, which tests the estrogen, progesterone, and you can add luteinizing hormone and FSH, which I would recommend since you're having trouble at mid-cycle. And you get that full panel, and you get to see what it's doing throughout the course of the month, and then it's mapped. And you can see if there's dips in progesterone, excesses in estrogen, spikes, things that are not normal. So that's where I would go with this, Rukmini. And you can also just say, well, maybe it's progesterone, and then start taking some progesterone from, you'd have to do it right after ovulation. So, you could start at day 10. Start at day 10 and then take it through the rest of the cycle and see, give it a couple of cycles. Last but not least, I'll give you some symptomatic things that you can try for the cramping, but you really want to be working on the underlying as well. So black haw is an herb you can get in tincture format that works phenomenally for about 80 to 90% of women with menstrual cramps. So you can go ahead and get some black haw. If it doesn't work within the first 2 to 3 cycles, it's not going to. It's not one of these things you have to just keep taking. But give it 2 to 3 cycles and see if you notice a difference. Other antispasmodic type herbs that can be helpful would be Jamaican dogwood and cramp bark. Okay? So I've given you a lot to ruminate on, Rukmini. Are there any other questions? Type them in. Otherwise, I'll go on to our next question. So Vanessa wants to know what causes a rash or cracking in the corners of the mouth and corners of the nose. I read somewhere that this is a sign of vitamin A deficiency. What do you think could cause this? Yeah, and the other thing that can cause the cracks at the side of the mouth and possibly the nose, but mostly the mouth, would be B vitamin deficiencies. And it could be any number of them. It hasn't been associated with any one in particular, but definitely B vitamin deficiencies. Okay? And what we decided to do with the micronutrients, because I just was struggling with how to present it all to you and not overwhelm you, is that we're going to put one new micronutrient a week up rather than here's 15 vitamins and 22 minerals and here, learn this. We're going to just one at a time once a week, and we're going to encourage you as soon as you get those to do the little video and learn it. So you'll be able to look at some of these things. The other thing you may look at, too, is look in my – in the – right now, where would it be? We haven't done the physical. Oh, yeah, in the NEPT retreat. So if you go to the website and you click events and then you'll see retreats, you go to the NEPT retreat page, which has the videos and the handouts from that since you didn't come to it. There's a document in there, and it's called the Nutritionally Oriented Physical Exam. And that is actually going to be the next module that we're going to do between now and the time of IRSPT, which is really helping you to learn to look for those signs and symptoms. Even if you're not in a situation where you're allowed to touch people and you can observe and you can ask them, tell me what this looks like. Tell me what that looks like. You can look at their eyes, their ears, their nose, their skin, the backs of their arms. We're going to take you through how to do that. So, Rukmini, thank you. Oh, and Vanessa, if you go to that document, there's a picture of the mouth, and it has all the different things around the mouth that can cause it. And the same thing with the eyes and the face, and it's a really good module, and it's going to be up soon. So, Rukmini, thank you. I'll look into my labs again and see where the numbers are in the range. Thanks for the herb details. I'll try them out, too. Another question is with regard to things I could take to relieve the pain immediately, because at the moment I take NSAIDs. Yeah, so the black haw will oftentimes let go of it immediately. The Jamaican dogwood, same thing. And the magnesium can do it, too. So that combination of those three can oftentimes take those cramps down. Because you know that when you take NSAIDs, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, you're actually disrupting your omega-3 fatty acid pathways. And so you're actually turning off your body's ability to do it for itself. So I would highly recommend that you look at doing that kind of protocol. Play with the doses and see if you can get it. And you feel free. I mean, you're not going to overdose on those. I certainly wouldn't take a whole bottle. But you can certainly start with the bottle, you know, get a tincture, and you start with the dose on there, and you can get 2 or 3 droppers full and just kind of just do it. If it's not taking the edge off after an hour or two, try it again. Try extra magnesium. You can go magnesium to bowel tolerance even. Just, you know, every hour take some more magnesium. If you start to get pooping too much, then you back off. But that can help too. Getting your magnesium up to bowel tolerance can be very helpful in that regard. Great questions. Let me see if there's any more. Let me see. Owen put up the link to the intestinal health blog, Blog Talk Radio show, and she said he was amazing. Yes, he was. He was totally amazing. And I'm not easily impressed. I do lots of radio shows with people, and I'm, like, blown away by some of them. And others, it's like, yeah, it's great information. It's nothing new under the sun. It's just a different way of looking at it. He was just amazing. His knowledge of the endocrinology of the digestive tract was just impeccable. He just, you know, the 22 different hormones and how it all works. And I'm going to actually see if I can get him in to do like a guest instructor spot on when we do the digestion module. That was how impressed I was. Okay, so we don't have anybody else, so I'm going to open Toni up again since she said she had other questions. Oops.
Ma'am.
Okay, hey.
Hey, okay, so I'm still hemming and hawing about this client because I always like to make sure, because I've learned that from you, to make sure that people walk away with something.
Yes.
Feeling like they, you know, they got their money's worth. And I want to help her out with some of these symptoms, like, I mean, I know we can't do anything about the weight gain, you know, overnight, but the fatigue, night sweats, and hot flashes.
Yep.
Would it be okay to recommend like an herb like black cohosh? Is that
yep.
is that?
And I've done that with people and had phenomenal results. Sometimes it doesn't work; it's not the right one. The thing you want to ask is, does she have constipation? That's another sign of thyroid, but also sign of liver sluggishness. And then Dong Quai works really well for that when there's hot flashes with constipation.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. So just kind of ask some more questions in your history. Get a sense of it. Get a sense of what she's eating. You know, the simple things that you can have people walk away with would be going on a gluten-free diet oftentimes. I mean, sometimes that gives them a dramatic shift, especially if there's a thyroid component to it, right? Heart mass. You find out what her stress levels are. She is stress bunny. You can hear it in their voices. You can hear stress, right? You know that. You go, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're feeling like yourself, like your heart's starting to race because you're feeling their energy.
Yeah.
And then you can stop her in the middle of the consultation. Will it be a phone consult or in person?
And this is my first phone when she's in Georgia, actually.
Okay.
So
great.
Is there anything like you would recommend to make this a little bit more personal and less impersonal that I can do?
You can do a Skype, or you can do another kind of service that would allow you to see each other.
Okay, Skype. I will recommend that to her because I have a Skype account.
Yeah, you can do that. The other thing is have her do stuff with you. Don't just make it you talking or asking her questions. Take her through, like, look, I hear your stress, and stress can contribute. Make the connection, how stress is going to contribute to your symptoms. So I want to step back a little bit, you know. We're going to step backwards. And then I would like to see you, I would like to take you through an exercise. Is that okay? Sure, most of them do. And then you take her through just a little simple heart math exercise.
Nice.
Right? And you ask her to really tune in. How does your body feel? Does it feel different? And oftentimes, most of the time it does. You say, see how quickly we got there. So one of the takeaways, one of your three takeaways I'm going to give you today is to do this before each of your meals.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have digestive stuff, does she say?
No, she just says fatigue, weight gain, night sweats, hot flashes, and neck pain. But I'm looking at some of the diet stuff that she's that she does. She does some fried food. She does, I mean, it's not ideal, and it's on the outside of really what I think is.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
so those are things. You find simple things in her diet, saying go gluten-free.
Yeah.
You can explain the whole process of gluten and how it affects. You can explain the process of that there's these fats that that occur, these oxidized fats that cause the fats in your body to not work, and it can cause pain and inflammation, and it can disrupt your hormones. So you can say, look, the first thing I want you to do, just one thing, let's get rid of all fried food. Instead of eating fried chicken, eat broiled chicken. Simple stuff that you're not going to recommend typically that people are eating chicken three times a day, but if she's eating fried food three times a day, you're going to recommend the broiled counterpart. You're not going to say, here, I just want you to go all raw, or I want you to go gluten-free.
Yeah.
Right? I say that to people who are already, like, close to gluten-free. I'm like, they'll go, well, I'm close to it. And then I say, go 100%, and then they see the difference. But if they're doing fried foods, that's simple. So always on that first visit, if you can find a few little things that they're doing that are habits that you can change that you know are going to give them a big bang.
Yeah. I always, almost always do the gluten-free, the reduce the allergens, the known, you know, irritants and allergens for everyone. So that's good. I'm sitting here reading and laughing a little bit because I asked her to, you know, and identify our usual lunch and dinner. And she says fried foods, Chick-fil-A, and dinner Chipotle. Wow.
Okay, so all you have to do is tell her, go to Chipotle for lunch and dinner. That's a huge upgrade because Chipotle is pretty, you can get some good food from Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell her what to get. Like, look up their menu if you haven't been there because they have good stuff. So even just a simple upgrade, like instead of this fast food restaurant, go to this fast food restaurant. That's stuff that they can actually do.
I like that. That kind of mimics my philosophy of good, better, best.
Exactly.
Instead of demonizing what you're doing, let's see if we can tweak it a little bit. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. So another thing is to look at, so that's what she's eating. When she says, she doesn't say anything about the digestion, but make sure you ask those questions. How many bowel movements do you have? How often? How is it crampy when you do? Do you ever get bloating? People think it's normal to get bloating and gas after a meal or to have reflux even, because that's not a big problem for them because they just take the over-the-counter Nexium. They may not even be telling you.
I will tell you this, that I actually had a client, I knew she was having digestive issues, and I don't think that she's ever not had digestive issues. So when I asked about the bloating, the cramping, you know, I asked those questions that we have access to. And she said, no. And I'm thinking, that can't be true. But I don't think she has ever, ever had a good digestion.
Yeah.
So that's normal for her.
Think of a way to describe perfect digestion. Think of a way to describe it. So when you eat, does your stomach feel really comfortable afterwards? Do you feel like really uncomfortable? Do you feel like you're hungry after your meal? Like really hone in when you're suspecting it, but they're not saying. You can hone in by asking deeper questions because you know what good digestion should be like.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Is there a rumbling in your tummy? Is there, you know, any distension at all? Do your pants feel tighter? This is an easy question. People don't get this. Do your pants feel tighter at the end of the day than they do at the beginning of the day? That's an awesome question to ask because they don't know that's a bad sign. Mm-hmm. They just figure it's supposed to be that way because I've eaten during the day.
Right. I like that. Anybody can relate to that. It's because it's external of your body. It's, you know, do your pants feel tighter? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you want to unbutton your pants after you have a meal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all great. Yeah. I'm feeling really good about this now.
Yeah, and you can just present this to her with your whole good, better, best, right? This is a process. I'm going to give you a few things to get you started. But this is a process. It's taken you years to come through this, and I want to look backwards and, you know, use that thing of the backwards timeline, right? If you've had this problem and then this problem, it could have been caused by it, could be, and then you help them with the gut stuff.
Nice.
Okay?
I'm good to go. Yes,
ma'am. Good. Yay. Oh, thank you. Good cases. And this is true for everyone, right? We think like, oh, my God, this is a tough case. The tough cases are the ones when you do deep back and, you know, they're eating this pristine diet and they're getting plenty of protein. They're getting plenty of sleep. And they're, you know, that would be the case where like, oh, my God, what's going on? But there's usually stuff when you know questions to ask and you dig deep that you can find. In other words, like if you look at the questions that I've given you in that module, I mean, you're going to ask every person every single one of those questions, but it's the overview, and then you're digging deeper into this aspect. Okay, nothing there. Okay, what about this? And even simple things like, did you change out the carpeting in your house? In this case, that wouldn't be where I would go, but a lot of times when people come in with their headaches or the achiness or other things, and fatigue, it certainly could be. When was the last time you had, you know, painted your house? Do you spray? Did you have the bug guys come in to spray for stuff? Did you go to a foreign country? Right? Whenever you get the regular questions and they're saying, no, this is fine, then you go deeper with those other questions. And I just was talking to somebody the other day. I'm like, and I had never even occurred to me to ask this question. I said, do you sleep by any chance with your cell phone near your bed? She says, I have my cell phone and my iPad, and usually I watch some stuff, and then I turn it off, and I said, are they by any chance on airplane mode? No. Should they be? So I said, yeah, because fatigue, right, if you're not getting a restful sleep, if there's this electromagnetic pollution around you, we have somebody that's going to cover a little bit about that at Shine, but that's a hormone disruptor.
That's,
yeah. So simple things that we learn, it's a whole new world that I'm going to have to add that question to the set somewhere, because that's a biggie, right? We're bombarded with electromagnetic pollution and waves in our body. It just creates a disruption in the signal.
Hmm. Wow.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. And Rukmini asked about a magnesium supplement. That's a good one. The one that Lynn put up, Pure Encapsulations, that's a capsule. I'm moving more towards getting people on more and more of the liquids. And Good State is a company that has really awesome ones. I've ordered a few of them myself. They have a blood sugar balancing one. They have magnesium. They have zinc. And they're all liquid. And the thing is, they're really economical. So you'd have to look to see if they are available where you live, Rukmini, if they ship them overseas. There's also a company called Metabolics that's in London, and they ship all over the world. They have a lot of liquid nutrients. So I've been looking at that liquid. And then there's, what's her name, Carolyn Dean has a magnesium. I've been experimenting with that. And then there's topical magnesium. So that's another way to get it in. If you tend to have cramps in your legs or cramps in certain parts, you can just apply it topically, and they'll get some of that in there as well. So, good. Rukmini says she gets them shipped from the U.S. usually, yeah. So Good State's available on Amazon, and like I said, it's so reasonable. You can get a bottle, you take about a cap to cap and a half, and Lynn, you're amazing. She's always coming up with links. She's like, Miss Instant links. Thank you, Lynn.
I love it.
I love it, too. So it's like if you took the dose on the bottle, you have a 3-month supply. Like the chromium, the blood sugar balance, 900. I think it was six. They counted the dose as 600. I like to count it as 800. So, but at the 600, it was $18 for this bottle that had, I think it was 96 servings, 96 days worth of servings. I'm like, oh my gosh. So if we did, it'd be a little less if you go for the 800. But lots, it's really good. Plus they're more bang for the buck because they get in. So many of our clients have disrupted stomach acid and they have disrupted gut. And you know what? Their capsules should be coming out the other end. And I know folks who do either colonics and or people who do x-rays, they tend to find that they see capsules, supplement capsules in the large intestines. That's not going to get absorbed if it's in your large intestine, is it? What a waste of money.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Anything else? Oh, Metabolics has it too. Cool. That might be cheaper shipping for you, Rukmini, since they're in England. Fantastic. And they have great B vitamins over at Metabolics. They have all the activated forms like pyridoxal 5-phosphate, the P5P I told you about. That would be a good one to get that way. That's also easy to get in all the health food stores these days. So who else came on? Vanessa came on the phone. Vanessa, let me open up your line. Before I talk to you, I want to... So Rukmini's looking for the link for the saliva. Right now, the only way to get it is to go to my website and do drrita.com/lab testing, and I'm not sure if that one's available to you, but we'll get it. The BioHealth guy, I think I haven't checked my inbox today, but as of yesterday, I still hadn't gotten the things where you can get set up with an account. And here's the deal. He said that you guys set up an account with them. They give everybody a free test. Yay! So you can get a free test when you set up your account. So I'm excited. Okay, Vanessa, you're open.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
I have a question that came in from it's kind of like a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And her husband has his blood work done. He used to be on Crestor. He took himself off because it was causing him all kinds of pain, like leg pain and cramping, stuff like that. So he took himself off. 3 months later, had his blood work done again. And his cholesterol is elevated, and doctor wants to put him back on Crestor. So the wife kind of doesn't want to do that. She wants to do the all-natural route. And So basically, I have his blood work in front of me, and I'm just wondering. I don't think it's out of control where, you know, it's alarming, but.
How high is his cholesterol?
His total is 220.
Okay. And what's his HDL?
48.
Okay. So that's low. What about his triglycerides?
63.
So his triglycerides are a little higher than his cholesterol, so it's not a big deal. If that was way higher, I would first thing go, whoa, insulin resistance metabolic syndrome. He may still have it, but those numbers aren't like, you know, big red flag for that. But the HDL is low. What about anything else in the labs that they had, or did they just do the cholesterol panel?
No, there's a lot of stuff here. I mean, I just opened it up.
Did they do a thyroid panel?
They didn't do a thyroid panel. I did see a TSH, you know, just the standard.
Yeah. Is it normal or is it high normal?
Hold on, it's the next page. Sorry. TSH, 1.59.
Okay, so no red flags there. The reason I ask about thyroid is thyroid hypothyroidism will cause high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to look at. So we want to look at labs. Yeah, that's great. But we want to look at the basics, right? You want to look at what's the guy eating.
Right. Well, she did tell me their diet has changed because their children have moved back in with their children. So it's kind of like, you know, that kind of situation. So they do know that the diet has changed and needs to go back to what it was.
Okay.
I have another question. What is LD?
LD is oftentimes LDH, lactose dehydrogenase. That's
okay,
a liver enzyme related to gut, related to bone, related to liver, gut, or bone, or possibly cardio. What's his number there?
112.
Okay, that's not
it. It says low.
And it's low. It's not usually a problem when it's low. But when it's low, it could indicate some issues with some of the, like zinc or low B6. When it's high is when you have an issue, you think liver and what's going on. But, so it could be zinc and the B vitamins might be out of whack for him.
Okay.
But I would get him back to a good diet. And back to a good diet, was he following a American Heart Association good diet? Or was he doing more of a, you know, Dean Ornish reversing heart disease type diet, or was he doing a paleo diet? So what was he doing?
I don't think he was doing any particular kind of diet, just kind of staying away from the sugars. Well, he had eye cancer, or still does, I believe. And so he's staying away from sugar and doing the green drinks. I mean, he was doing all that, smoothies,
okay,
juicing, salads. Great. No, you know, grains. So,
oh, good.
So he went
so
from
really
that to
diet.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and was that helping? He doesn't know if that was keeping the cholesterol down because he was on the medication, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that could have been keeping it low. So first of all, yeah, so he's got to go back to that, no doubt about it. And if he's willing to do that, it sounds like he is. It's awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at his fats, omega-3s. Omega-6-3 ratio are important, and getting them on a good omega-3 supplement, whether it's a fish oil-based or an algae-based, either way. Nordic Naturals just came out with an algae-based EPA-DHA supplement, which is great, and so people can get it right at the health food store without having to order it. And it's a liquid or capsules, and it sounds like a really good deal. So either way, but he needs to be on omega-3s, I would say, in the range of about 1,000 total between them a day.
Well, I do think he is on that because he had heart surgery not too long ago also.
Oh, he had heart surgery?
Mm-hmm.
What did he have the surgery for? Did he have a bypass?
I believe so. A bypass and then 3 or 4 stents.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a history of that in his family as well.
Yeah. I mean, Dean Ornish's book, Reversing Heart Disease, a combination of the diet with things like meditation and yoga, and he found that to be phenomenal. I mean, he actually showed it on PET scans, the reversal of those clots.
Okay. And I know you're you like to have the A1C done, right?
I would absolutely. A1C is an important one to do because there's
his is
oftentimes hidden. What is his?
5.4.
It's not bad, you know.
Okay.
It's not optimal, but I like to see it at 5, but it's certainly
okay.
Not terrible. If you said it was 6 or 5.8, I'd be concerned. I'm
sorry.
I was going to say, what about C-reactive protein, highly sensitive?
That was okay.
Okay, good.
C-reactive protein. I just had it. Now, of course, I lost it. But this is, again, based on you know, pretty poor diet from what his wife told me. So I'm sure it was a lot better before.
Yeah, I would just go ahead and get him back on that diet, a few extra supplements. You can certainly do the ones that, like red yeast rice, but that more works on the same pathways as similar pathways to some of the medications. So I'm not sure if it's necessarily safe long term. You can always, you know, hawthorn berry is a good one to look at because it strengthens the muscle and it helps to, it kind of breaks down the lipids. One of my herbal instructors would talk about how in China, they actually use a hawthorn berry tea to clean the tables to get the grease stains off the table.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? So it does
wow.
that in the body. It breaks down those extra cholesterol, you know, that
that's
stuff.
Great.
Yeah. And the
Do you recommend the tea or the tincture?
With the hawthorn, to get a therapeutic effect, probably the tincture, but he can certainly buy, you can buy Mountain Rose sells whole hawthorn berries, and you can incorporate them into smoothies. You can you can make a tea out of them. So, yeah, but hawthorn's a really powerful herb for the diet. Does he have high blood pressure?
No, he doesn't. However, they had him on high blood pressure medication just as a precaution, they said, after his heart surgery.
Wow.
So, but he never had high blood pressure.
Okay. Well, got to make sure he's got it. You know, like I said, the hemoglobin A1C isn't that terrible, but sometimes it doesn't take much. You might get a blood sugar meter if he's open to it and just tell him, you know, just don't eat any foods that make your sugar go above 110. And if it makes your sugar go above 110, stop, because every time it goes above 110, you're causing damage to your system and it's causing more of a stiffening of those arterial walls. If you've got insulin resistance. So, yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's great. You know what's good about this case is you know that he's willing, right? If you say, oh, they've tried and this is what they did and they did this American Heart Association diet and that's all they're willing to do, it's, you know, that's not good enough.
Right. Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome, Vanessa. Okay. Okay. All right. So, Rukmini, this is not a health question, but regarding one of our assignments on micronutrients. That's fine. While I was creating the write-up, I had a lot of information about each specific vitamin or mineral, but finding research articles to prove it was a challenge. Could you maybe do a short future video on how to find research articles and how to do the APA styling? Right now I've just got all the dates from various data from various website sources. I've created articles based on that. And that's fine. You can make those articles. It's nice if you can find one of the things is the NIH website. I think it's – let me make sure I give you the website. But there's a research website, and you can generally find that. If you go to – actually, Google Scholar is a great starting point. So if you go to Google and then you go, let me see if I can find it. Lynn will find it for me. Google Scholar. I think if you just Google Scholar, that gives you research articles. Yeah, just do research Google Scholar, and it's scholar.google.com. And that will give you, here, I'm typing it in. There you go, scholar.google.com. And from there, you can look up the specific things. So you can say vitamin A, vitamin B12, ashwagandha, and you'll find scholarly articles. Some of them are not from medical journals, but, you know, they're more from, like, you know, various science trade journals and things like that. The other thing is the Medline. Medline.com. Here we go. Well, this is a different. Oh, we can try this one, but no, this isn't it. It's NIH. Here we go. There we go. So you can look up, this is actually different than what I thought. This is more of a website. I want to just get to the database. Let me see. I need to say nmln.medline.gov. PubMed, I've got it. It's PubMed. No, that's PubChem. Let me just say PubMed. Let me get PubMed. Okay, so these are good starting points for finding research-based articles. It used to be when I was in school and I was writing papers and all this stuff, and or if I was researching a topic, I would go and spend hours and hours and hours at like the Stanford University Medical Library, and I would then end up spending a bunch of money pulling out the journal. So you had to look it up in the little index, and then you look up the journal. I'm dating myself, am I not? So that I'd take the articles and I'd take them to the photocopier, and I'd get like a $50 card to copy them, and I'd walk out with this like huge stack of papers. That was research in the olden days. Research in the new days are not it's not as challenging. So go for it. Okay. Super. Let's see. Anybody else? Looks like no. I'm just going to check the other QA in case somebody typed in that one. Rickmini. Okay, good. All right. I guess we're done then. Any other questions? There, Tony. Go for it, Tony.
No, I have a question.
You do have a question? Wow, you must be hitting it on your, because
I'm
your
sorry.
Hand.
I do actually have a question.
Oh, you do? Okay, now you do. Go for it.
Yeah, I hit it accidentally. I have one more question because I don't have very many clients or have any exposure to people who admit to having long-term recreational drug use. The same person in her 60s, well, she's 60, and she said that she did cocaine, I guess, between the age of 30 and 40.
Ooh,
pretty regularly. That's a lot, and I'm wanting to know what impact, what should I be doing beyond asking the question I am now about that. I know she doesn't do it anymore, but would that have any impact on anything that's going on with her
now? It would have
now?
An effect on her adrenals big time. It
okay.
would have an effect on her gut bugs. That's what Mike was saying yesterday on the call I interviewed him on. He was talking about the
okay.
effects of various medications and on the bugs, the actual bugs in your gut and the receptors and all that. So, that can have an effect.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Look all at those
right, well,
adrenals
I'm
and gut. Adrenals and gut.
Yeah. Keep going back to it.
Adrenals
keep,
and gut.
Keep going back to that. Well, I'm definitely going to look for the look to listen to that radio show. And you said Lynn posted the link?
Yeah, it's on the chat right here.
Okay.
But if you just go to drritamarieradio.com,
okay.
it'll show you the list of the previous shows.
Okay, that's easy enough for me to do. I'm so excited for all this information, and I'll be able to help her a little bit and explain to her. So thank you so much for taking
so welcome.
Time.
You're
yeah.
so welcome. It's really cool when we get this opportunity to have these discovery kind of consultations with people, and you don't want to blow them away with too much to do or they'll feel overwhelmed, but you want to give them – you want to just lay it out like we talked about, like, okay, you've got these problems and what this can be related to and that could be related to, and you take them back so that when you start working on their gut, instead of giving them hormone replacements or whatever – they understand why. They understand why
yeah.
it's important. And yes, you can try some of the, I would certainly try some of those B vitamins for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
black cohosh might work. The Dong Quai might work. Progesterone might work.
Mm-hmm.
Progesterone cream. You know, there's a number of those things you can do, but you, while you're drilling down, and you can tell her that. Just make sure you tell people when you're giving them something, like, okay, I'm going to give you something and maybe take a few tries, trial and error of a few different things that could try to help give you some symptomatic relief while we're working on the underlying.
Yes, yes. I like that. And
yeah.
let her know that, you know, this is not going to take care of the issue, and, you know, you're still not going to fix it, and so that they don't rely on the fix, because they're,
exactly.
the medical field really tells them just rely on the fix because it's symptomatic response.
Exactly. Exactly. Symptoms. Here, take this drug and come back in 6 months.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
we don't care what you're eating or drinking or smoking or whatever. Just take
yeah.
this drug and come back in 6 months. And that's the mentality.
Yeah.
So your whole process is training people to know that education is an important part of their health care. And
well, I appreciate you constantly telling us that, too, because, you know, I immediately went to, let's do the black cohosh to make her feel better while I work on the other stuff, but we can kind of start doing things simultaneously so that she doesn't just rely on that. So I appreciate
yeah.
you constantly drilling that into us and telling us.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Any other questions, type in on the chat. Last chance for questions. Otherwise, I'm going to go get some lunch before my next call at 3:30.
Okay.
Another blended drink. Oh, my God. I've got to tell you. I'm addicted now. On the show last week, I made cauliflower mashed potatoes. And I made two versions of it. I made a blended cooked version and a blended raw version. And just yesterday, I'd done 10 days of liquid only, the green cleanse and then some powdered greens and all. And my body was craving fat so badly last night, I had to cave. So I had an avocado, and then I had this hankering for that soup I'd made, or the mashed potatoes. So this is so simple, and people will love it, especially people who like mashed potatoes and they have glucose problems. You take a head of cauliflower. You cut it up, you steam it, keep the steam water. You put the steamed cauliflower in the blender, and you take just a little bit of the steam water. You go as little as you can get away with. You may have to add a little bit more. And you just blend it, and it comes out to this white, beautiful, creamy puree. And then you put it in a bowl. And then what do you typically put on mashed potatoes? You ask them, what do you like to put on mashed potatoes? Do you like garlic? Do you put salt? Do you put chives? Do you put milk? Okay, let's put a little almond milk or something. Do you like butter on them? Great. Let's put I put a combination of flax and coconut oil. And then a little salt and kelp powder.
Wow.
I felt like I felt like I was eating a gourmet meal.
Wow. 5 ingredients or less. I love it.
There you go. And it takes no time at all. Vanessa said she made them too, and it was awesome. Unbelievable. Like, you know, so all this food can taste so good and just titillate their taste buds while helping them, you know, cruciferous vegetable, right? It's going to stimulate
yeah.
those great pathways to bring hormones back in balance. So
mm-hmm.
I just
nice.
Thought I'd share
Thank
that
you
because
for
I was so excited.
No.
I think I'm going to have it again today.
Wow.
The problem is it's hot here, and so after I ate it, I felt like, oh. So if you have somebody who's really cold, it's a really good meal, but I'm not used to eating cooked food. So I sat here, like, sweating after I ate it. Anyway, cool. All right. I think we're good. So take care, everybody. And I think we have a call probably next week. No, not next week, because next week is Shine. So you guys come to Shine. I sent you guys a link yesterday. Those who can't make it to Shine, we are doing it live cast, so you can be with us. We are having to charge a fee to do it, but just because we have to pay for it. It's costing us like $4,000 or $5,000 extra to do the live stream. So we're just trying to break even on it. So, but we instead of charging $397 like we're charging everybody else, you can do it for $97. So I'd highly recommend that you go and do it because you know, even if you can't do the whole thing, you'll just be able to be with us for a little bit and we'll have a chat and you can say hi. We can say, hi, Rick Meany. Great to hear you. And Hi, whoever, and I know you're coming, Tony and Lynn, you're coming. But if you can't make it live, just be sure. And if you haven't decided to sign up yet live, go and check it out. Sometimes you can get those Priceline really inexpensive, and I'm sure we can find somebody who will share their room with you, because some people are tripling and quadrupling up in their rooms. They're bringing in cots and stuff and having a, like, great party. So, and you have a room, right, Tony? You were able to get a room.
I do. I do have a room, yes.
And did you get a roommate?
Christy.
Oh, good. Oh, great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Yay!
And we can make room for others if anybody is stuck. So don't let that stand between you and coming. We'll
and we have one more room that just got released because somebody was going to bring her husband and her sister, her daughter and her all these people and her whole family. And then she found out that she had forgotten to make the air flights, and the air flights were so bloody expensive. So it's just her. So she's giving up one of her rooms. So there's room. So all right. All right, we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you next week. And so it'll be the week after Shine that we'll have another call. And don't forget, we have a really great one coming up with Bill Barron at the end of the month for the enrollment conversation. So I think you're going to really enjoy that.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lynn, thank you for saying you're driving. You can drive with me, but I don't know anybody else lives in Iowa. Vanessa lives in Florida, so it'd be kind of hard for her to drive with you. And Rukmini lives in South Africa, so anyway. Great, Rukmini. Stay connected. Come on the calls, and if you can't make the calls, really go for it. And hopefully you can do Shine on the live cast so we can have some of our support team there in the background. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.